speak to them. Reveal yourself through your Holy Spirit. Touch their heart in Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
This morning I read from John chapter 20 for you. When we saw an excerpt of where Christ had come to visit the disciples. And they all weren't there. But he talked with them and said, "Peace to you." Now Thomas wasn't there. And history is kind of harsh on Thomas. What do we usually call Thomas? I hope to change that before the end of the sermon. And we look at Thomas, who wasn't there, and all the rest of the disciples said they had seen the Lord. Now these were men Thomas had spent time with for the past 3 years as well. He was a twin, and he didn't believe what they had to say for face value. But I need to see it with my own eyes. I need to touch it with my own hands. But this shouldn't really surprise us with Thomas. Now, we don't get a lot of insight about him, but the scriptures that we do have about him show us the character. If we go back to John 11, again, the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 5, we see another one of those times where Thomas speaks up. John 11, verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. All right, to give context, this is where Lazarus was sick. And Martha was pleading for Christ to come see her sick brother. But Jesus didn't come at her request. So when he had heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. And after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And you're going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." You see, the disciples and Jesus had left Judea because they feared for their lives. They were being chased out of town. They knew that the Jews meant to kill Jesus if he returned. They didn't want to go. I mean, they didn't want to take the risk. Verse 16. Then Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." See, Thomas, just like the others, knew what lay ahead, what could potentially happen if they returned to Judea. But their Lord, Jesus Christ, was going to go. Now Thomas had so much faith in Christ as the Messiah, in Jesus as the Messiah, that he took a step out from the rest of his brother. He said, "If we die, we die. At least we'll die with him. Let's go." You know, if you play poker or so, there's a point where you're betting. And you run out or you're near the rest of the money that you might have or the chips that you have. And when you reach that point, when you're ready to just go with it all, what do they call that?
all in.
Now, Thomas had reached that point. He was all in with Jesus. If Jesus was going to go to his death, Thomas was going to join him too. He was ready for it. He's the only one of the disciples to say this. He had no doubt what he's willing to put down. John 14. We get another account of Thomas. As Christ is comforting his disciples to get them ready for what's going to happen, he sits and he has meals with them and he discusses things with them and he answers their questions. In John 14, verse 1, Christ says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Now, the other disciples didn't bring that question to bear. Maybe they had their own pride at stake. We've been with this man for 3 years. He says he's going somewhere. We probably should know where he's going. We'll go ahead and play it by ear. But Thomas is all in. He's bet it all on Christ. He wants to know. He don't want to make a mistake. Wherever God goes, or wherever Jesus goes, he wants to go too. So he asks him, "How will I know? What's the way? I want to be sure I got this." It wasn't a doubt. He was committed. When we go back to John 20, he wasn't there when the disciples all gathered the first time Christ appeared to them. And he heard what they had said. He also heard what Jesus had said prior. He knew what would happen if he stood up at that point. He stood out. And the city was looking for these Christians. He believed in Christ. I mean, yeah, he trusted his brethren. He loved Christ so much he was willing to die for him. You know, when Christ went to the garden and was arrested, it was planned on who he allowed to go with. Yeah, he had Peter with him, and we know that Peter cut off someone's ear. But he didn't bring all the disciples with him. What would Thomas have done if Thomas was with him? Would he have stopped with an ear? Back in John 20 and 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Your reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. Thomas is the first of the disciples to call Jesus Christ God. Before then, they referred to him as the Son of God. They referred to him as the Messiah. They referred to him as Christ, as Master, as Rabbi. But Thomas was all in. And when he saw Christ's body, Christ's wounds, he knew that only the power of God could be there in front of him. And he wasn't going to hold back. And to say this man, this Christ right here, is God, was blasphemy to the Jews. That's what they wanted to hang Christ for. And crucify him because he said he was God. And Thomas was all in. He's the first to verbally announce it. And say, you know what, Christ, I said I would die with you and kill you and put you on the cross because you said you were God. And I'll say it too. My Lord, my God. That's not doubt. That's assurance. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. We're put in this position, just like with Thomas. We're to represent Christ to the world. We can represent a kind and loving man pretty easy. We can represent a smart prophet, someone who knew the verses pretty easy. And the world won't really disagree with us much on that. We can represent somebody who was martyred and put on a cross pretty easy. And the world won't disagree with us. But are we doubters? Will we say Christ is God? Not just some man, some really good man, but truly God in the flesh. Is that what Christ means to you? Or we'll call Thomas doubting. I pray we don't. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your examples that you give us. Your accounts, your very personal accounts, Lord. You didn't just stop with word of mouth. You took the time to personally show Thomas. You had done just as you promised. And that you work on. As we go out into the world, Lord, today, Easter, or any day, give us his boldness. Help us be all in. In Jesus' precious name.